Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our guy, NBC Sports Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio. And by the way, check out Mike's new book, his latest book, The Big Shield. And I know my guy, Tyler, who is really into sports betting, this is probably going to be a read for him and others that are into that. But make sure you go check that out. It is available on Amazon today. But Mike, what are you hearing? Because it is interesting. I heard you yesterday talking about something's going on over there. It reminded you of the Eagles of a couple of years ago when there was some issues going on that led to the downfall of their season. And then we hear that Gardner Johnson is oddly released today. What's your thoughts and what are you hearing about the situation in Houston?
Well, just generally, and I said this on our show yesterday, there's a weird vibe that comes from the Texans, and I'd love to be able to peel back the curtain and get to the truth about what's really happening, because it just seems like something is off generally, and it's the kind of thing they're not going to advertise. But with Gardner Johnson, and I see that Aaron Wilson of KPRC has reported this, it's not a surprise that there's friction behind the scenes between C.J. Gardner Johnson and teammates, because that's how he ended up in Houston in the first place. He had some rant at some point before training camp that he was too competitive for the Eagles' liking, which makes no sense because you want competitive players, and everybody in the NFL is inherently competitive or they wouldn't be there, but there's a line that you don't want to cross, and he presumably had crossed it. And with the Texans at 0-3, and it may not take much to have a guy who's being divisive and disruptive, who's maybe calling players out or a little too angry over the situation or whatever it is that caused the Eagles to say, we got to get this guy out of here, manifesting itself already in Houston, causing the organization to say, we got to get this guy out of here. Doesn't matter they traded for him, we got to get this guy out of here, and it's going to be better. It's going to be addition by subtraction, and I assume that that's exactly what it was. It's more about personality and getting along with others or not than it is about his playing.
Yeah, Mike, the strange part of that is he just played 93% of the snaps at safety, and a couple of weeks ago they just pushed some money forward and gave him more guaranteed money, I believe, in a contract. So the whole thing is just wild to think that they had that much trust and that much faith in a guy that has, like as you mentioned, the reputation of you know, making waves at the very least, and now here we are in this spot. I want to go back though, Mike, to your original point, because I think you had this take before this news dropped of just like, again, the what's going on behind closed doors with the Texans. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Of is that a Nick Caserio kind of New Englandish Bill Belichick type of thing? Is it CJ and a young head coach? Like, what made you get into that mind space?
Well, it started really in the aftermath of week one when CJ Stroud came out and said that we can't have lollygagging. We got to be ready to play. And he had some pretty strong comments and criticisms about some of the other players. And we're just kind of in a spot where something seems strange and something seems off. And the inability to close games, they've been in every game that they've played, but it just feels to me, and this is based on doing this for 25 years, and you start to pick up on the clues and the hints and the patterns, something's obviously not right. And with each loss, and this is something Chris Sims told me back when we started working together in 2017, the pressure that mounts when you're in a locker room that goes from 0-1 to 0-2 is significant. It goes from 0-2 to 0-3. It's even more significant. It just feels like, with nothing specific to point to other than the CJ Stroud comments after the week one loss, it just feels like something's up. It feels like something's off, and it feels like there are deeper issues than scoring fewer points than the other team. And it's rarely going to be advertised, but the fact that they are cutting C.J. Gardner-Johnson for nothing and letting him walk away with whatever he's been paid and not trying to turn it around, that's a symptom of it. And it could just be that whatever is happening and whatever that pressure is doing to cause problems did come to a head already, and we'll see what more happens in the aftermath of that. It's just something to monitor. And, you know, we never really got the full story about why the 2023 Eagles fell apart after a 10-1 start, but it just felt like something was going on, and it still feels that something was going on between players that made it turn personal and guys not liking each other and enough of a problem that they just couldn't win a game once everything bubbled over in late November, early December of that season.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joins us. By the way, check out his book, his latest book, Big Shield. You can get a copy of Big Shield on Amazon today. And I think a big frustration is they are really pretty much damn near dead last in every major offensive category, including scoring 12.7 points a game and only being to the red zone four times all season, 0-4 in that category. And the big thing they did was they revamped with getting a new coordinator, getting a new offensive line coach, made the movement. Laremy Tunsil brought in some new parts, and that seems to have really, at least, at the very least, to be kind, a slow start. And it seems like that might be a situation. Were you surprised that they made all of those moves to begin with, moving on from Bobby Slowik after what he had done his first 2 years with C.J. Stroud in this offense?
I was surprised, but I respected in theory the idea that the Texans, two straight years, you know, the pattern was very similar, 2023 and 2024. Win the games you're supposed to win, lose the games you're supposed to lose. When it all adds up, it's enough to win a weak division. Underdogs at home in the wild card round of the playoffs both years. Score an impressive victory over a team that was supposedly, air quotes, better, and then go on the road and play respectably against an elite team. That's the pattern. And, you know, I've criticized teams for having the attitude that just good enough is just good enough, and it would have been easy to stay the course, keep Bobby Slowik, not make major changes on the offensive line, and be complacent but profitable and relevant. But it struck me as an effort to kind of go all in and get to the next level. So I like that. But the problem is when you make major changes, you've got to win early, because if you have any lingering questions in the locker room about why are we doing this, why are things different, why are we making these changes, you had to get guys to buy in. I think that's why last night's win for the Lions was so critical. You have eight new assistant coaches. You got new coordinators. Not because they were fired, but because they graduated elsewhere to become head coaches. But still, when you make changes like that, it's critical to get the players to buy into the new way that things are being done. You need wins to get the players to buy in. So I like that they did it, but obviously it feels like at some level that's one of the factors in whatever's going on that's causing the team to be 0-3 and to create this sense, this vague sense that is highly unlikely to ever be admitted and shared by way of specifics with anyone, that something's going on and they're having a hard time getting past whatever it is.
Mike, what is your y'all's take on C.J. Stroud on two fronts, just the overall play and the regression that we've seen, and then on the other part of that, like kind of as it relates to, you know, being the next $60 million man in the NFL?
Well, Those numbers are going to be harder to reach if he keeps playing like he's been playing. And ultimately, you know, the quarterback is the leader of the team. And when he comes out and calls his shot after week one and tries to shake guys up a little bit, and it results in two more losses of games they could have / should have won that they were in late, that becomes a little more glaring. And, you know, it's impossible to know who to blame for the breakdowns that you see. And I've seen the videos on social media where people are breaking down film and they're trying to blame this on CJ and that on CJ. And maybe they're right. We just don't know. It's 11 different pieces that are moving in unison or not. And you know, some of the throws have been off when he's had time. And I know people are trying to blame the offensive line, but a quarterback's got to deal with the hand he's been dealt. And not everyone has perfect protection where they can stand back there and, you know, kind of bounce on the balls of their feet and wait for a guy to come open. At some point, you got to be able to deliver, even if you are under siege, because every quarterback at some point is, and he just hasn't. And this is that key third year for him, eligible for a new contract after the regular season ends. And it may very well be that they're not ready to offer him the kind of money that he may have thought he was going to get based upon what happens this year. It all comes down to the next 14 games and whether he improves, whether the team improves, but they're being left in the dust by the Indianapolis Colts. And I think this weekend's game's critical when you have the former Houston Oilers coming to town and they're desperate for a win and they've looked far worse than the Texans by way of being competitive. Lose that one, you really got a problem.
Mike, what about, I know, tell me if this is crazy or not. It's a world that we live in today, right? And I think C.J. Stroud has a case to plead. At this point in time, the way things are going, David Mulugeta is his agent. You know, is this a situation that you could see brewing here where there's some noise of, does C.J. Stroud even want to be here? And before, like, my point in asking that is because it's fair. I'm an old quarterback. It's very fair to look at the last 2 years, whether it's the OC hires, the supporting cast, you know, being beat to hell. I mean, there's a real possibility where CJ could go, man, I mean, this has just been rough as hell. I need to see if the grass is greener. Is it too early to think that? Am I crazy to think that could be possible in 2025?
Well, remember, they drafted CJ Stroud a year after Deshaun Watson got what he wanted, represented by the same agent. Much was made that they weren't going to hold anything against David Mulugeta for the way the Deshaun Watson situation ended. But the reality is David Mulugeta knows the blueprint to get a guy out of Houston if he wants to. And when you consider everything that was going on with Deshaun Watson, sat out the whole year, upset supposedly about not being consulted in the hiring of a coach and a GM, and then the 20-plus lawsuits that were filed against him. And Mulugeta navigated that and got the guy what he wanted. He got the guy a massive contract, got him to the team he wanted to go to, not necessarily because that's where he wanted to play, but because they made him an offer he couldn't refuse financially. And even though it's been a disaster from the Brown standpoint, he got what he wanted, and his agent got it for him. So, you know, no one's ever going to come out and say, I really don't want to be here, except Tyreek Hill. But you rarely see a franchise quarterback come out and say it. Deshaun Watson, I don't think ever came out and said it, but we knew it from all the reporting that was done. So I think the bottom line is this. If C.J. Stroud decides he doesn't want to play for the Texans any longer and he's got another team in mind or multiple teams in mind, he's represented by the perfect guy to press the buttons and pull the levers to make something happen.
I know Texans fans aren't ready to be thinking about that yet. But Mike, one of the,
I don't know, they may be if it keeps up this
well, yeah,
year.
You're right. One of the things that's really, really strange, and I refuse to let it go, and I'm curious your thoughts or if you heard anything, is like the situation with Joe Mixon is just weird. We've not seen him at all. He has not been, we've not seen him even outside at training camp in Clinton. Clinton and I have gone out there and been out there, and we've had representation out there every day that they've had a practice. No one's seen him. We haven't heard from him. He's eligible to come off the list and be able to play after the Titans game. Is there anything you're hearing about Joe Mixon? Because no one would assume that he's even close because we haven't even seen him.
Well, I'm not hearing anything, and I've been trying. And I got to the point where I gave up because when you beat the bushes and no birds fly out of it, you go eventually beat bushes where you're going to have more luck getting an answer. And I just think the fact that there's so much secrecy and it's so quiet, it doesn't bode well for Joe Mixon playing this year. And I think back to Nick Caserio's comments right after they set the 53-man roster. He was asked, are we going to see Joe Mixon at all this year? And his answer was, we'll see. And anybody that ever tried to get something from their parents growing up that they wanted – and they heard we'll see, knows what we'll see means. Means you ain't getting it. It means it ain't happening. We'll see. Is it just a way to say no without having to say no because you don't want to deal with what the consequences of saying no firmly and clearly right now might be?
Mike, we got hit. Last update we got hit with was, we miss him. We hope he's doing okay. That didn't shed much light on the hopes of him playing either here in Houston. Hey, Mike, we appreciate you joining us, man. I know you got a new book out, Big Shield, man, and nobody better to tell all of our listeners about it today. You can get a copy of Big Shield at Amazon as we speak, but I know you're proud of this one, man.
Well, I have made many stupid decisions in my life, as my wife will attest. Arguably the stupidest is to adhere to my New Year's resolution to make all of my novels available for 99 cents in ebook form on Amazon, even the latest one, Big Shield. And this one has done far better than any of the others, really, because it's in my wheelhouse, at least from the standpoint of what I'm known for, and that's covering the NFL. So it's a story about a professional football league that is entirely fictional and not the NFL officially. I can't stop you from envisioning NFL teams as you hear the names of cities. No names of actual teams are used in the writing of the book to keep me from being sued. But it's the intersection of professional football, gambling, and the mob. And it's based on a third-string quarterback for the Las Vegas franchise. It is not the current NFL Las Vegas franchise known as the Raiders. He's corrupted by a Vegas mobster who has a network of players who provide him with inside information. And in this case, Carson Jeffrey, the third-string quarterback there, is providing information both before games and during games. And that's the starting point, and everything kind of goes from there. And it's all sparked by the player unexpectedly being released by the team, much like C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I'm not saying C.J. Gardner-Johnson was providing inside information to the mob. Let's be clear on that. That was just the spark in my book that gets things rolling, and it goes from there. And for 90, I worked it out. If it takes you 10 hours to read it, and I don't know how long it takes people to read. I know sometimes it takes me a little while to just really understand what's going on, and I want to take my time and enjoy it. But if it's 10 hours, it's 9.9 cents per hour for entertainment. As your entertainment dollar goes, you can't find a better deal than 9.9 cents. And as the buying of anything goes, you can't find anything cheaper than 99 cents. So you can get it at Amazon right now. I'm keeping the price of the ebook at 99 cents. And, it's a nice diversion from the stress and the strain and the mundacity of day-to-day life. And when you have a good book that you're reading, it's just something nice to look forward to at the end of the day when you've got some free time to just unwind. And hopefully people will check it out, and I'm confident and hopeful as well that they'll enjoy it.
How'd you land on Carson Jeffries as the quarterback's name?
You know, it's funny. I had a name. This came up. I've got an agent now who's been pushing me to try other things, write some short stories. I'm working on a script for a boxing movie, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and he's like, "How'd you come up with that name?" And it's like, there's no real process to it. It's like, I need a name. Think of a name. What sounds good? How about that? And so, I'd like to say there's a greater, method, but it's just what pops into my head and what sounds right. That was pretty much it.
All right, so
I have been asked if Carson Jeffrey is patterned after my partner Chris Sims, and I haven't thought about that, but the subconscious has a mind of its own, because this guy is kind of tall, he's got a giant head like a truck battery, and he's kind of a dumbass, so it could be Chris Sims.
Damn, Mike.
That is great.
What a dismount. All right, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us, and go ahead, check out Big Shield. Big Shield, and you can get it right now on Amazon today. Mike, always a pleasure having you with us.
Great talking to you guys.
All right, that's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Catch him on Football Night in America on Sundays on NBC as well.